First Samuel, chapter number 3, verse number 4. We'll begin reading there. We'll read a few verses. The Bible says that the Lord called, well, let me go back up. Actually, let's go up to verse number 2. We'll get at the beginning of the account here. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he, of course that would be Samuel, answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he, that would be Eli, said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." This evening, a very simple message tonight entitled, "The Call is Coming." The call is coming. Let's have a word of prayer as we get started tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this evening that you would give me liberty as I take this particular thought, Lord, as we read here about a young boy being called. Lord, I am thankful that you call young men, that you call young women. Lord, I am just as thankful that you call middle-aged men and women. And Lord, I am equally as thankful that you call elderly men and women. Dear Lord, there is no age that has been given that you will not use an individual, that you will not call someone to your service. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see tonight that the call is coming. Lord, I pray that we would be ready. I pray, Lord, that we would respond in the proper way when you call for our attention. For we do ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I'll have you be seated. Now, I have told you before, in my young life, I remember probably the first time I ever thought about it was as a teenager in the little American Baptist church that I was a part of, that I grew up in, the only Baptist church in our hometown. That church was not a fiery church whatsoever. I remember, of all of the messages that I heard, and I had perfect attendance in Sunday school and in church and most every Wednesday night, and I would say almost every Sunday night, I had perfect attendance for all of the years growing up, but I remember so little about the messages. And I pray, boys, girls, I trust that you'll listen, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart through the Word of God. But unfortunately, I don't remember a great deal of the messages and how God might have worked on my heart. But I do remember as my teenage years thinking to myself, I wonder if God would ever use me in that way. And I suppose I didn't form the thought exactly like that. But I remember thinking to myself, I wonder if I could speak with clarity before people. I've always liked talking to people. That's always been a given. I'll talk to a rock pretty much, if it'll give me its attention. When I was a senior in high school, my dad had passed away when I was a junior. There was a law that had passed. I was receiving as his dependent. I was receiving Social Security, and there was a law passed at that particular time frame that if you turned 18 and had been receiving Social Security, that you had to be enrolled full time in college to continue receiving it. Well, I had turned 18 my senior year of high school, and so the last half of my senior year, I carried 12 credits in the local community college. I took bowling, one portion of it. I took roller skating, another portion of it. Oh, you wouldn't believe the blisters that you might get with something like that. I took earth science as a home study. I got the book from the professor, and I would study for the test, and I would go up to the college and I would take the test. I I didn't have any class time. I took music appreciation. Oh, and we would sit there and she would play excerpts of music. The first time I had ever heard of two singers, you probably know them. You're worse than I am. I know that. I can't think of their names right now. Scarborough Fair, some song named Scarborough Fair. Simon, praise the Lord. Yeah. Just for the record, that was Brother Dave Johnson, head deacon of our church that knows all of the secular songs. But I also took I was a senior in high school. I took speech with the class, and they were mostly freshmen in the class that I was in, and a couple of upper grade levels. And that was the particular class that I enjoyed the most. I excelled at it because I loved having opportunity. And so the thoughts that I had as a teenager of I wonder if I could ever get up there and speak and hold someone's attention. I enjoyed that class because I would get to write speech. We had to give extemporaneous speeches. We had to give humorous speeches and different things like this. I forget all the different styles. And boy, I loved that class. And I enjoyed sitting next to these freshmen and maybe sophomore or junior who they were scared because it was about their turn and they were going to have to get up in front of the class. And I enjoyed that because, man, it didn't bother me. I don't know. I guess I like people looking at me, I suppose. Not that I give you much to look at, but I enjoy it, I suppose, anyway. But I think to myself, and looking back over over the years when I was young, and then of course as I had made a decision, I would say probably around the age of 21, maybe 22, I made a decision more purposeful about church. I've told you about it before. How I would come up with all of the excuses in the world as to why not to be in church. I had homework that I needed to do, or I had travel. I'd have to go back to school on that Sunday afternoon, and I couldn't allow myself to be in church. And I remember sitting there at Timberline Baptist Church, and at the end of the message, thinking to myself, why am I making this decision every single time that it's a church time? And so I went to the altar, and I laid it before the Lord, and I said, I'm done making the decision. I've told you about it before. And then, of course, as God began to use that particular decision, and then as I joined membership with South Sheridan Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado, and I began serving in the Wednesday night kids program, and boy, a lot that I learned during that tenure. Art Hockman would pull me to the side, and he'd say, "Listen, Brother Meredith, you're getting so upset. Your face is turning red because you're so angry at these boys." Listen, just calm down. They're going to be boys. And I would get so upset. And I learned a great deal as to, I guess, how to bottle it up and keep it inside and scream while I'm on my way home. I don't know. But you learn those things. But you start thinking back in your life about the call that God has had on your life. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a youth pastor. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a deacon. By the way, we're looking for a new position to fill the head deacon spot. Just teasing, Brother Dave. You say, I'm no portion of the leadership of the church. I don't know that God would ever call me to be in any kind of a leadership position. And first of all, the statement would be very clear. You have no idea how God may call you. You have no idea where God may use you. You boys, I want you to look up here. All of you boys, you have absolutely no idea. I never thought when I was 18 and 19 years old, when I started my education in the science world, and then when I transferred over into the computer world, I never dreamed that God really would use me. I told you before, when my wife and I began dating, and when it began to be more serious, and when we actually started talking about the possibility of maybe we would be married one day, and I made that statement to her, don't be surprised if one day God calls me to preach. And I was doing that, I suppose, more to impress her, and I'm sorry that I would have to say that. I know the thought had always, for several years had been there, but I didn't think it was going to happen. But you never know when God's going to call. 21 years old, 22 years old, 23 years old, 24 years old. Now here I am, 25. And I, no, not now. I'm giving illustration. back then, I found myself at 25 years old and I realized God truly was calling me. And I guess I could say it was almost like Eli here. It's not that I went to the preacher and said to the preacher, "Oh, I believe I'm being called. What can I do?" It wasn't like that. But I do look back and I realize now that God was trying to get my attention for several years prior to that. And I stifled the call, if you will. And I said, "No, it can't be that." And I couched it in the comfort of I had good reason. My oldest brother was a preacher. My brother just older than me was now entering into Bible college, and I know God was speaking. Now I see it. God was really burning my heart, but I was afraid that I was just doing it so that I could be like my brothers. And so I made the decision not to heed the call. I'm glad that God was patient with me. You see here the account of Eli. I'm glad that God is patient with us. I'm glad that when God does call us, if we do not at first respond, I'm glad that He is willing to call to us again. And I wonder how many this morning, I wonder how many have been called, but you have refused to hear the call. You have given every reason as to why not to serve the Lord. I've watched countless teenagers. We would go for 14 years. Every year we would go to Santa Clara, to North Valley Baptist Church, and we would be in the youth conference for 4 days. And of course, there was a lot of fun. There were a lot of games. Oh, but the preaching was unbelievable. It was spot on. And I watched hundreds of young men and young women that would decide, "I will surrender to the full-time service of the Lord." But I watched numerous in my own field of influence, I guess you could say, in my youth group and in those that I knew, I watched many of them then walk away from the Lord and never do anything with the call that they had surrendered to. Now, I'm certainly not a proponent of someone just throwing their ring in the hat. I want if someone's going to handle the Word of God, especially in a full-time capacity in some way, I want it to be that there is truly a call from God. But oh, I wonder how many have really been called by God. And what I also wonder is how many will be called by God that you'll say, "I think I've got a lot of reasons why I don't need to be the one. Surely He's not calling me." And you begin to list to the Lord all of the reasons. You begin to bring up all of the background. Now listen, there may be some very valid reasons as to why you would not be able to hold this or this, only two particular areas of ministry in a church. You may fall within that qualification. But there are a myriad of other areas in a church. There are a myriad other areas in the service of the Lord that someone can be used for. And I wonder how many here this evening, how many might be called. I'm not talking tonight. I'm not talking within the next month or the next year even. But I wonder how many of you are going to be called one day to do something for the Lord, to step up to service for God, but you'll stifle it. You'll say, I've got all of the reasons in the world that I cannot. What will my mother say as I try to argue with God? What will my mom say? Well, I've already graduated with a degree in computer programming. Lord, my life is already set. I'm working for a worldwide oil company that I could stay here and probably retire from this company if I wanted to. Lord, what will I do with all of that knowledge and that learning? Lord, the years, 6 years it took to get 4-year degree. Amen. What will I do with all of that? I wonder how many will give similar excuses. I thank the Lord. I truly thank the Lord that I guess you could say I woke up. I truly thank the Lord that God finally got my attention. I'm grateful to Him for it. But will He get your attention? Will He get your attention? I wonder in a local New Testament church such as ours, I wonder how many would be able to say, "You know, there has got to be an area of service for me." Well, I understand we're not a church that has 100 different ministries and opportunities to serve in all of these. But it might be that God would raise up an individual to say, Pastor, I believe that maybe this would be an area that I could serve. Would you pray about that? What do you think? I might have to say, as I have with at different various times over the several years, I don't know that that's the particular area, but maybe this area. Perhaps there's nothing more disheartening to a pastor than when, as a pastor, I'll come to an individual and say, listen, would you serve in this particular area? I believe you're perfectly fit and suited and qualified, and well, I would love to see you in that area. And then be told, well, no, I would rather not. Now, I'll love you. I'm going to love you. I promise you I'm going to love you. I'm not going to decide, well, fine, if you're not going to serve in that area, then I'll not use you in any area. That's not my heart. But my heart aches at times where I feel like, Lord, you've put this decision before me. And Lord, I've prayed about it. And I believe that this might be a great area of service for this particular individual or for this particular family, only then to be met with, no, Pastor, I don't believe so. As I say, I'll say it again. I will love you. I will always love you. I will help you. I will pray for you. I will comfort you when you need comfort. I'll rejoice with you when you need rejoicing. Oh, but is there an area of service that God could use you? The call is coming. Take your Bible, go over to Genesis, if you would, 37. Genesis 37. We read about a young man named Joseph. We'll go right here to the very middle of it. Go to verse number 13. In Genesis 37, verse 13, the Bible says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he," that would be Joseph, "said to him, Here am I." Well, the same response. If you're going to take notes, I'm going to have you write down number one, an unhesitating response. The call is coming. Could I ask you to have an unhesitating response? That when you realize that it is God that's calling you, you realize that it is God that is placing a burden on your heart, that you will respond, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I. What would you have me to do?" Now, I'm not trying to say that I am God, and when I ask that you would perhaps fill a particular area of ministry in the church, here or there, a small area, a large area, I'm not acting as God. I'm not saying that I am God. I will tell you this, that I will have asked the Lord, would this be a position and a person or a family that would fit well in that area? I've had names and positions that I try, and I look, and I say, I don't believe that that's where the Lord is leading. I don't have peace about it. But listen, the call is coming. Will you have an unhesitating response? "Here am I," Joseph said. Joseph followed his father's wishes without question. It was unhesitating. It was unhesitating. We have a heavenly Father. Are we going to be just as unhesitating? Are we going to be just as quick as Joseph was to answer his daddy? Are we going to be just as quick as Samuel was to answer the Lord, thinking first it was Eli, but then was it when his attention was turned to the Lord, he was just as quick to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Will you be just as quick? Will you have that unhesitating response? Never questioning your father's wish. By the way, knowing that his brothers didn't like him. Joseph's brothers despised him. "Joseph, here am I. I need you to go take some bread. I can do that, Dad. Where do you want me to go?" "I want you to go to Shechem." "Wonderful. What's in Shechem? Who's there that I should deliver the bread to?" "I want you to take the bread to your brothers." "Do you think maybe Mom could do it?" They like Mom. I can imagine perhaps that was what you or I might say. We read nothing of it. We simply see, all right, and he up and takes and goes to find his brothers. Knowing they'll probably be able to see me a long ways off.
Boy, that desert area, dry. I can imagine that he would be on the road to Shechem, and I can, in my mind's eye, I imagine Shechem in the area that perhaps the flocks might have been grazing, a little bit of a pasture, a little more green, perhaps a spring and a few trees around that, and then of course around the city of Shechem. But leading up to it would be just as dry as the ground where I grew up out in southeastern Colorado. No trees anywhere, but yet you get to a city, and oh, there are some trees there, and there's some life there, and there's some green there, but everything else would seem to be brown. And I wonder, hey, perhaps they were on a hill, on a hillside, and they look, and they watch out, and they say, well, that looks like little Joseph. Do you think that is? And as he gets closer, and he draws closer, we know that they already decided what they were going to do with him, knowing it was him. I'm sure he probably saw them as well. There they are, all of them up on the hill. Oh, they already know it's me. I can see them talking about things. I wonder what they're trying to decide. But yet he went on anyway. He pressed on until he found them. Go over to verse number 17. And in verse number 17, the man said, they are departed hence. For I hear them say, let us go to Dothan. Oh, now we go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. But there was an unhesitating response. Tonight when the Father sends you, will you go without hesitation? Will you go without hesitation? I would love to be able to go back and change some of the decisions that I made as a young man. I would love to be able to change some of the decisions that I made. I would love to live more responsibly. But I am thankful that God still looked down and He said, there's a young man that I can use. And I wonder how many young men, I wonder how many young ladies here this evening. You have opportunity to start making better decisions. Now, yes, God can use and does use anyone, but oh, could you imagine how much more of your life that you would be able to do for the Lord. Would to God that I had made some decisions before I was married, back when I had more time, I guess you could say. You know, when you get married, there's just it's much more restrictive. And I thank the Lord, both my wife and I, before we had children, man, we served in the ministry. We would be at the church until midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, sometimes in the morning, getting things ready for this or for that. And boy, we helped and we labored, and I thank the Lord for that. But I wonder about all of those years that I didn't do anything. I was a member of an independent fundamental Baptist church. I lived in a city that had many doors. It could have been thousands and millions of individuals that lived in that city. I had opportunity. I had time. I had time on my hand. Then I would go over to Tom's apartment, and he and I would waste hours doing I have no idea what. And I wonder, hey, if I had made a decision back when I was younger, if I'd have gone over to the church and talked to Dr. Nelson or talked to Pastor Hines and said, listen, I've got a lot of time. Is there something that you might have around the church here that I could do, that I could fill a spot? I'm not talking about leadership. I'm not talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about something that I might be able to do. I love, listen, we've got two men that are here faithfully every single Friday or Saturday in the heat of the day, in the heat of the morning. They've tried to get here in the morning now. Brother Ray, Brother Stephen, they're trying to beat the heat just a little bit. I don't know that it's working out very well, unfortunately. But I thank the Lord for their willing to say, I've got some time. I'll take care of the church grounds. An unhesitating response. The second is an unexpected reception. In verse number 18, it says, and when they saw him far off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. There was an unexpected reception. Don't be shocked when not everyone is happy about your choice to follow God's direction. Don't be shocked when your family isn't quite as excited as you are about serving the Lord. Don't be shocked when your brethren aren't quite as excited about you serving the Lord. And certainly the devil is not going to be in favor of you lifting a finger for God. There was an unexpected reception, but there was also, number three, there was also unknown rewards. Go over to chapter 50, the last chapter here in Genesis. Genesis 50.
Look at verse number 20. We've seen it before. Oh, you understand the account of all that Joseph went through in the trial and the testing, the unexpected reception he had not only by his brothers, but by his boss and by his boss's wife and all of these individuals that put him in prison, and then he got out and went back, and all of these different individuals. But now God has brought him to the second in all of the kingdom. And of course, as his brothers come to ask of for food, they didn't know him. And when he finally revealed himself to them, you remember the Pharaoh said, "Bring all of your family down." And so for the famine, they were taken out of Egypt and out of Israel and down into Egypt. And oh, for all of those years they lived there. And of course, when their father died, when Israel died, the brethren, they were so concerned about what Joseph might do. But you look at verse number 20, we'll finish it with this. "But as for you," Joseph said, "ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." What if Joseph had never, what if he had said no to taking the meal to his brethren? What if he had said, "No, Dad, I can't do that. The reception is going to be poor. They're going to hate me. I'm not going to take part in it. I'm not going to do that, Dad." Well, we look at the Bible, and without the pages back there in Genesis 13 of his willingness to respond, how would the book of Genesis alone be different? Would we have a book of Exodus? Would they have been in Egypt? Or would the nation have died off in the famine? Now praise God. The providence of God. The foreknowledge of God. He already knew how things were going to happen. Praise the Lord. We, as humans, are given the choice whether we'll follow His script. But you see, there are unknown rewards. "Ye meant it unto good. Ye thought it unto evil against me. But God," or I'm sorry, "ye thought it as evil against me. But God meant it unto good." There are unknown rewards. Serve the Lord faithfully. Serve the Lord faithfully from the pit that you've been thrown in. Serve the Lord faithfully from the prison that you feel that you are trapped in. Serve the Lord faithfully when you serve in the pit and when you serve in the prison. Oh, praise God. It'll be so much easier when you serve Him in the palace. When God brings you through a difficult time and you were faithful to the Lord and you said, "I don't feel like going to church tonight, but you know what, Lord? I promised you at that altar I'm going to go. And so, Lord, even though I'm tired, even though I've got a headache, all of these things, Lord, the issues of life are very, very real to me. But Lord, I've made a decision and I'm going to serve you in whatever pit we find ourselves, in whatever circumstances. Lord, life seems to be crushing down on me. This decision was made and it was against me. This decision was made and it certainly wasn't for me. My neighbors did this. My family did this. Lord, I just don't feel like I can go to church anymore." And you decide, you know what, even in prison, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to serve the Lord. Oh, praise God, when things are good, when days are good, it'll be so much easier to serve God. And it'll be a blessing beyond belief. If you quit serving God after the first or second failure, you'll never receive the palace reward. Are you serving the Lord? Do you have? Now, the call is coming. The call is coming. Young boys, look up here. Ethan, how old are you? 8 years old. Ben, how old are you? 9. Ethan's the youngest boy in here. Aaron, how old are you? 9. All right, Ethan's the youngest boy. All the way up to the oldest boy. You know, we could, I don't know. Brother Ray? The young men of our church. Girls, let's see. Courtney, how old are you? 5 years old. I think that's the youngest little girl that we have here tonight. Listen, the call is coming. You'll never be able to convince me that God is not going to call your life one day in some fashion. Amen. You'll never convince me of that.
He is not setting you by the sidelines saying, I have no use for you. I would rather use this boy over here. Oh, he's a shining example. You may not be the shining example, but you'll never convince me that God's not going to call you one day to do something for him. Well, am I supposed to pastor? I don't know. Am I supposed to marry a pastor? I have no idea. Oh, a missionary. That's how I don't know, but I do know this. God's going to call your life one day to do something. It might be to be a Sunday school teacher. It might be to be a bus captain. It might be to be a janitor. Are you willing to say, all right, Lord, you have called, I'll respond. Because the call is coming. It might be tonight that the call has already come. You already responded, but you have let it set for so long that you've convinced yourself that the call wasn't real. I remember that. I've told you, don't go through that. Learn from the bad example that I had, unfortunately, I have to set before you, that for all the years that I could have been serving the Lord, I had decided, I'd convinced myself, no, it surely wasn't God. It surely was just myself. Oh, would you listen to the call that God has? Here am I, Lord. Will you use me? Let's stand, if you would, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, this evening, please, I pray you just use the message. Dear God, I thank you for calling me, Lord. I thank you for the call that you've had on my life. Lord, I thank you for the call of those men, Lord, who have greatly influenced my ministry and my life. Lord, thank you so much for that. But dear Lord, tonight, I have no doubt that there is someone. There is everyone. Lord, I can't say someone, because I have no doubt, Lord, you'll call every person in this church auditorium tonight. Lord, some to serve in this area, some in others. But Lord, there's no one here that you are saying, I don't want to use you. You may, however, Lord, you may have to say, I can't use you because you're unwilling to be used. Lord, please don't let that be found of anyone here this evening, unwilling to be used. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. A simple, simple question. Will you respond?